You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
You could run a fucking pet Brock against Donald Trump, and I would vote for the pet Brock.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Critical.
Hang on. Let me change some words here. All right, ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held. Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
I don't know if you've ever seen the lightning bug, but he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt.
It's a beautiful night tonight. All the sodomites are out.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sarah Talk. We are live for our 100th episode.
You've been waiting to do that all day, haven't you?
I didn't know what I was going to do. At first, I was just going to click on the, click on the mics and go.
Oh, that sounds naughty. But
but it's not.
It's not.
Later in the show, we will be shaving Becca's head.
Woohoo! Get it off. I'm done.
Hello.
I mean, you know, I don't like clothes, so why would I like hair?
All right, then. Hey, guys, it's going to be a very interesting night tonight. We have Dan in the house and Russell, Dan and Russell in the chat. Dan's going to come cook for us. That's what I got out of this conversation in April.
In April, after he goes to Havana or before.
Or before, whatever.
Whenever. It's all good.
We have a special guest in studio with us tonight.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk about the Me Too movement a little bit. We're going to be talking about some personal journeys, and we'll start in a safe place. And if it goes to a point where I need to make a content warning, I'll make a content warning. But I think we can just talk in generalities here to get started. So the Me Too movement opened the door for so many people to come forward and share their story, and with each story told, it makes the next group coming out a little bit easier and telling their stories, right? It wasn't just me. I'm not alone. And hopefully from all of this, as difficult as it is to speak out, as difficult as it is for some people to hear, maybe we can finally prevent this stuff from happening in the first place. That would be great. So joining us in the studio tonight to talk about Hollywood Hurts, which is a film in the making about one such personal experience, writer and director Justine. Welcome to Sarah. Justine Renee, welcome to Sarah Talk.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Formally, welcome to our 100th episode.
Congrats. So exciting. That's amazing.
It's an arbitrary number on a base 10 system that makes it's 100. It might as well be 60. 69 should have been the real...
Nah. You know what? Numbers mean nothing.
That's true. I mean, right.
It's true.
It's all values we assign to them.
Ask our listeners. It could have been just 100 crappy episodes or not.
I think if you go back, and I've said this before, but if you go back to some of our earlier episodes, you will hear an entirely different show.
The show has transitioned.
Ding. I mean, not for sexual reasons.
No, but I mean,
good pun.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that's what it started. It started to be to tell that story, but it has transformed into something completely different.
And hey, if you've been listening since episode zero, like shoot me a note because that's awesome. If you've stuck through all of this nonsense and. And it really has. It's really been a learning.
Little heavy on the hand there, babe. No. No. I will not be silenced. You put a microphone in front of my face and don't you dare pull that dial down.
I don't know what you're talking about. I wouldn't do that.
Sure you wouldn't. No more Coke.
Of course it is.
Oh my gosh.
No, so the show has changed quite a bit in the however many couple of years that we've been doing this. It started out very light and fluffy, and it was just, you know, me telling my transition story and things that I was going through, and then Donald Trump got elected, and now here we are.
Yeah, we had to kind of take a hard left turn.
Oh, that's good.
Come on.
Okay, so Justine, let's talk, before we get into the project specifically, talk a little bit about your interest in filmmaking. Like, when did you get into filmmaking?
I actually started getting into filmmaking when I was living in Los Angeles, California.
What?
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
Originally from the Northeast.
Okay.
I grew up kind of everywhere, traveling around the East Coast, Vermont, New Hampshire, Connecticut.
Okay.
But then I moved out to LA. Acting was always in my heart. It's kind of been my passion since I was a little kid. And I wasn't really getting booked, so I decided to write my own scripts.
Oh, cool.
And that's kind of how it started. I wrote my own scripts, and I started teaching myself how to shoot, how to edit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can connect with, like, the self-taught. Like,
oh, yeah?
I'm just interested in the thing, so I'm going to learn how to do it. Like, all of the stuff here. I mean, I worked in radio for a while, but I worked. When I was in high school, like, I ran all of the sound.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just, mm-hmm. here's a box of cables and a mixer and figure it out. You know, I love stuff like that, you know, like the technicals of getting the video feed set up. And most of the music that the instruments that I played were all kind of like that. It's just something I had an interest in. And I thought, oh, I can learn how to do that. Step back, world, I'm going to learn.
Right.
So that's cool. Like, I like that there's that, like, an innate drive to do that.
Right. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of projects have you worked on? And you can maybe in general or in the past few years, like, I'll leave that open to you.
My main interest is drama, both acting and on the crew side of it, directing. I really like inspirational work, anything that can really change the world. And acting, I've been in music videos. Delirium, one of my all-time favorite musicians from the 90s. So that was super exciting. But everything I've written has been somewhat spiritual and on the self-growth and journey, like the hero's journey,
mm-hmm.
the underdog type of stories. Those are, I love yeah. those type of stories.
Yeah, and that's easy for audiences to connect with.
Yeah. Right?
Like those are stories that, especially on, you talk about the underdog, right? Mm. People love to
absolutely
rally for the underdog.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I guess I'll give a content warning just in case the, you know, anybody's out there. If you're not in a good headspace for a discussion about sexual assault, because that's where this conversation's headed, now's your chance. Click away. Pause. Come back later if it gets to be too much. So first, thank you for being open with your experience. I know that's not easy, and I appreciate the strength that it takes to do that,
yeah.
right? Do you want to kind of take us back to 19-year-old Justine? Like, where were you in your career at this point?
Oh, I was at the absolute beginning. I was so young, naive. I didn't really know what I was doing, which now I can see as a 30-year-old how absolutely dangerous that is. And that's part of why I wrote the script that I wrote. And I want to be part of that movement.
Were you, like, going it alone, or did you have... It was like there somebody in your family that was kind of involved, or was it like really just you kind of exploring this?
I had, like, my family always supported my dreams. Like, I was sent to theatrical camps when I was a kid and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never been a question of whether they supported that, whether they believed in me or not is a question in and of itself. But I know I definitely have support from my mom and my stepmom, which I'm super grateful for. And I was in like that whole 19-year-old not around family, and I kind of wanted to do my own thing. So it was more, I was at a distance than anything else. So I wasn't going to the people I should have went to for advice, and things like that. I was kind of just making my own decisions. I was an adult. I knew everything, you know, right. The late teenager. I don't need to be told what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I don't know where I want to go next. like, so you're what at this point? You're just out like auditioning for things that you see like open calls, and you're just kind of exploring different roles.
Right.
Basically.
As an actor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then an independent filmmaker.
Right.
I have an agent here in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And I go out for commercial auditions, things like that. My main interest has been my own films.
Right. So 19-year-old you then is in this environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're trying to make a name for yourself. I think the thing, like, for some people, the component that may get missed in all of this is the power play, mm-hmm. right? That you've got, like, especially in Hollywood, you've got a lot of these young dreamers that are trying to get noticed and make it big, right? That's the
exactly.
That's the Hollywood dream, yep. You know? Mm-hmm. And then you come into contact with one of these people who, even if it's a false appearance of power, right? Even if they don't have the ability to get you anywhere, and they probably don't.
Exactly.
Right? But they play this manipulation bullshit where they're, you know, hey, listen, you do this, this, and this, and you're going places, kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was that your experience?
Pretty much, which wow. is why to me it's so dangerous, and like it irks me to think about this happening to even my younger sister or anyone, because my younger sister is actually getting into the modeling industry, which is exactly where I started. I actually, my experience happened modeling.
Okay.
And it's scary to know that people are using those manipulation tactics, not only to people that know what they're doing, but especially to those that really don't know what they're doing in the industry, that are new to the industry. And they prey on those people. They prey yeah. on people's dreams and passions. And it's so wrong,
yeah.
like to so many levels. And I didn't see that when I was 19 years old at all.
Right. So, and again, I'll kind of leave it to you how much detail you want to get into with it. But do you want to take us into that story? Like what happened to you?
Yeah. So I actually recently came out with this story, like on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
And it was really, really hard because really for the past 11 years, I was struggling with the fact of if it was me to blame.
Right.
Like I said, with that manipulation, I really thought, well, you know, I didn't run away. I didn't do what people typically think victims of uh-huh. these type of situations do. And that they think, oh, you know, well, you could have screamed, you could have kicked, you could have like punched. Yeah. And it wasn't like that. I kind of just like I froze, uh-huh. I guess, in a way. I kind of surrendered to it, thinking that it was normal and it was okay, and I was so uncomfortable, and I said no, and it didn't really matter because of everything he had said. And he would bring up things like, oh, well, you know, tonight I was gonna call this casting guy to try and get you on this show. And I believe it was like Big Little Liars or something at the time, before it was even on TV. It was something of that caliber, something on like the WB at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the exact show, but it was something of that caliber. And So I was like, okay, what do I do? And so I kind of just surrendered to it. And I was so like uncomfortable. And I was so manipulated and so naive and so taken advantage of. And looking back, I'm so mad because I see that it wasn't my fault. And I see that it's exactly what was done to me was exactly what, you know, people that get, that's why they get away with it. And it's a manipulation tactic that sex traffickers use, and that most rapists use to kind of make you believe that it's your fault, that the blame is on you. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot what happened to me, is like the victim blaming more than the perpetrator blaming.
Right.
So I really struggled with that for 10 years.
Wow. So while all of this was going on for you, what were you numb to it the whole time, or did you like, did you notice anything going on in your soul? Like, were you the core of who you are? Did you, looking back now, do you see that changed over the past 10 years while you were going through that, and then as you've been carrying that around?
I think I was numb to it. Yeah, I think I've become numb to it. And then slowly opening up, remembering it makes me feel really like sad.
Mm. Yeah.
And, but yeah, at that time I was definitely numb. I was drinking a lot, kind of hiding anything feeling wise, but I hated myself back then. Mm-hmm. And so in a weird way, I thought I deserved what I got. Mm. Like, I don't know. It was really pretty bad.
It changed the way you interacted with other people? Did you notice?
It changed the way I saw Hollywood and people in the entertainment industry. Mm. I think I saw everyone as bad and everyone as having an ulterior motive, which it definitely protected me from like a majority of the people. Mm. But I definitely believe I missed out on opportunities just because I could not trust people.
Yeah.
And it's within the past year, I've kind of come to terms with myself and that whole opinion I had and developed after my experience.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I'm so grateful for that movement because of that, because it allows and encourages and inspires people to come out with their own stories. Like, okay, I can finally deal with it. Mm.
Yes. In a public way too.
Right.
Right. Not even like, okay, I can deal with this and I can talk to my family about it. Or yes. But also like a scream to the world, like, this is a thing that I went through and you need to know that this is out there and let's fucking do something about it already. Yeah, that's awesome. So 11 years you carried the secret around, and you kind of alluded to this a little bit, it seems like a silly question with an obvious answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because I know that there are some people out there who probably fall into this misconception, and they do ask this question, and then, you know, there may be someone out there for whom hearing this could help connect them to their own experience, and that is, we often hear this in the context of domestic violence, right? Mm-hmm. But like, why didn't you speak up right away? Mm-hmm. Right? Isn't that what people tend to, you know, when you hear about, oh, something happened to somebody you know, right? I think a lot of people do that. Like, well, I would have gone straight to the police. Why didn't you do this? Mm-hmm. Why did I would have done that? And it's easy to not be in the situation and say, I would have. Mm-hmm. You know, here's what I would have done. Yeah, right. Okay. No, you wouldn't have. right? Easy for you to say. You didn't go through it. Shut up, sit down.
Seriously.
Right? But like, so what are some of those things that, you know, that in your mind that caused you to kind of go numb about it and just go with the flow and let it, you know, let it happen for now, I guess?
That's a really good question. I'm glad you asked that because it's a lot of what I've been struggling with, in believing that it was my own fault. I had a desperation. My desperation was for my dream to happen without being mature enough to realize that everything takes time and hard work and patience and training and all of this stuff. And I went into it thinking that I could start modeling and eventually work my way into movies and TV, just like I heard so many other actors did. And I think that I really was trying to prove something to, you know, everyone in my life. Like, I can do this. It's not just a silly, stupid dream. And I really was just so desperate. And when I heard things like, you're so talented and you're so beautiful and I have this guy that I know and I'm going to introduce you to so-and-so and this, that, all of these promises from someone I thought was so creditable in the industry. It was that, you know, kept me going back and actually more than one time. And that's why I was so like disgusted with myself. 'Cause I'm like, why? Not realizing that it was like an entrapment of psychological abuse.
Right.
On top of sexual abuse, you know, it was all of this going on. And a lot of victims, I think, deal with the same thing, definitely in Hollywood, probably on college campuses. Mm-hmm. You hear it everywhere. And what a lot of people, I think, can relate to is that manipulation, thinking that you're letting it happen. That, okay, so you keep going back to that your abuser in a domestic violent situation. Well, you think it's okay. You think it's normal because so-and-so can change, or so-and-so is going to give you something that you really want, or, you know, that love, or they really care. They just made a mistake to that type of, it's that type of situation and that type of emotion.
Yeah. That's really important. Like, and I think that's something that's left out of that conversation a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think one of the more important points, especially for people who are living in a situation of domestic violence, right, like right now, right, sexual assault, domestic violence, you need to know there is a way out, and you can reclaim your life. And it's not your fault. It's not hopeless. Do you want to talk a bit about how you finally got out of that situation and maybe share some of your recovery process? Like, what things are you doing that have helped you come to terms?
First of all, I have an amazing, amazing, amazing therapist here in Orlando. I'm going to get emotional because it's taken me so many years to find someone I felt like actually cared. And I know for a fact this therapist does care. And I don't know. He helped me really come to terms with the fact that it wasn't my fault. And even the past few weeks, just coming out with my story and coming out with the film that I'm making has helped me with that. But back when I was 19, really how I came out of that situation, it was probably like it was probably about a month long process, which is really kind of scary, because I just it scares me that someone can get into your head like that for you to keep going back to a situation like that. And I think a lot of people that are victims or not victims don't realize that it's not, you're not just walking down the street one day and someone jumps out of their car and that's it. That's not all sexual assault is. It's so much more. It's so much more complex. Mm-hmm. It's a gray area. It's not black and white. And I think that's also a reason why so many, actually, I think it's 99% of perpetrators get away. Mm-hmm. They literally just move on with their lives. Mm. But my biggest thing is therapy. Therapy is such a tremendous, tremendous tool. And there are definitely therapists in the world that care and not just want money. And that was a big thing is in my life. I'm like, well, I don't really want a therapist because all they care about is getting money or this or that. But if you keep looking and if you keep trying and if you keep going with that determination and that will and that desire to really help yourself, you will get to where you need to be. Yeah.
We are big proponents of therapy.
Yeah.
And absolutely, you may not get the right one right off, right? You may have to go through a few. Oh God, the first therapist that we went to together. So, and if you've been around for a while, you've heard the story. Sorry for the repeat.
She was good.
But it's a fun story.
But it's a fun story.
So we're atheists. We are skeptics.
Okay.
We like to approach the world from a science-minded point of view.
Yes.
And so when I decided to come out and transition, everyone recommended this one particular location. This is the place to go. That's what they specialize in, is transition care. And they do. They've since expanded to have like an MD on site, and they do... They're going to, like, they want to make it a one-stop shop. They do your laser hair removal there. Eventually they want to do surgeries there, like the whole thing, right? From start to finish. They want to do the whole thing in one place.
Which is a great
thing. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
So we go in, we sit down with this lady, and this was our first appointment together, right?
Yeah.
And she says, now there's a, it was the video she wanted us to
watch,
right?
She wanted us to watch The
Secret.
Oh my goodness.
homework, everyone. Please type in your Google box, The Secret. And if you have not watched this, please do.
But make sure you get your popcorn ready first and don't take it seriously.
What's funny is, like, I think, I don't even remember what it was in response to, but I remember thinking, like, we laughed and, like, joked about that.
Right.
So much. Like, if nothing brought us together, it's more than that video.
Joking about that video.
About how stupid it was.
Well, it was because we were both, like, stuck at Disney, miserable in our jobs.
Oh, yeah. And she was like, well, if you just put positive things out into the universe, then you'll get positive things back. Look, lady, that's not how life works. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's just not.
Hey.
So, you know, but look, I got what I needed from her, which was a letter from a therapist that says you can start hormones, and that was that.
Yeah.
And we've since found some therapists closer who are
really
fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It's not quite a
more
far
on
of
board
a drive
with the scientific aspect of things than the.
And so there's a great thing, like, when you call to say, hey therapist, I'm interested in coming to see you for this thing, ask those questions, right?
Yeah.
Do you use a science-based approach to mental health? And that's a perfectly acceptable question.
What was it you were telling me about that when the paper that you filled out or something about when you for the first visit when you knew, like, this is where I want to be.
Well, we were talking on the phone. She had called.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, she'd called, and it was, she was doing, they'd do like a
pre-interview.
Yeah, yeah, like a 15-minute phone interview, like, thing.
So what's your goal for therapy?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
What's going on?
and I said something about, I said, well, she said, you know, you've been seeing a therapist before, right? And I was like, yeah, let me tell you about that therapist. And I told the story that I just told you. And she was like, oh gosh, really? She had you watch that? And I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty special. And then she was like, no, I definitely use the science-based therapy tools. I'm like, okay, you're good. Check. But definitely, like, that's, you know, that is a big part of the process. Mm-hmm. Now, it takes, like, all of that said, you know, it takes a lot to get to the point where you're ready to say, okay, I need to talk to somebody.
And shame on society for putting us into that situation.
Yeah, the stigma.
So ridiculous. Ooh, she's going to a therapist.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I wonder what's wrong with her.
Exactly. It's so healthy.
None of your damn business.
Yeah, you should go to therapy once a week or once every other week, whatever.
Right.
Even if you just go in and say, everything's going great, that's go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go do that. Talk to somebody who's not invested at all. Who's a third party that doesn't have anything to do with your life, you can just talk to.
Tell you what, awesome. On therapy days, I feel better before I even get there.
Right? Because you know it's coming.
Come, I'm going to get to go and sit in this nice little calm room.
And you'll feel better after. Exactly.
Now,
that's so true.
All of that said, I forgot, I haven't even told you this yet.
Oh, jeez.
So
we don't get a lot of time to talk.
So when you go in, the room that I normally go in is the one on the left, the small room to the left.
Yeah, I've been in the small room once. Usually we're in the big room.
Okay, so we went through this whole thing about science-based approaches and, you know, atheism and all this stuff. And I go in for my first session and I sit down and at the end, so the couch is here and then there's a little table and then there's a fucking Himalayan salt rock lamp. Which, by the way, does not deionize the air.
Mood lighting, and you know it is because we have two of them in our bedroom.
I know it is, and that's only because you wanted them, and I love you, so I bought them.
I like the way the light they put
on. I do too, but there's no.
No.
Okay.
I didn't say there was. Just like that they're pretty.
Okay. So now it's been a decade, right? You've been carrying this thing around. Right, we call the monster in your mind.
Right,
that you're carrying this thing around. It's just back there, growling and
exactly.
Yeah,
how does it feel to have all of that exposed?
It's weird. It's a little scary, but also like empowering. Like, just feeling like, no, you're not. No more. Like, no more to anyone that thinks they can get away with this. And I'm so like happy about it starting in Hollywood. I mean, granted, there's still stuff going on all the time in Hollywood. It's Hollywood. There's going to be hidden stuff all the time, but even just not nominating James Franco, for instance, for an Oscar, it made me so happy because I'm like, good, you do not get rewarded for behaving like a douchebag and taking advantage of people just because you're famous and you have money and you're powerful and this, that, you know? So it's that empowerment and just what's happening to Harvey Weinstein from that whole beginning is what started this whole thing.
What a snowball that was. Oh, my gosh.
You know, one of the most powerful people in Hollywood. Like, that is so good. And I really do hope that it does cause some sort of a change. It needs to.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not, you know, the
just a phase.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
Hopefully it's not just like the thing of the week and then we go into something else.
I think that I don't know that you can bounce back from this and just go back to status quo when you know.
Right, no, this is like flipping the light switch and the cockroach is fucking scattered.
Well, and there was already the prequel, we'll call it the prequel, where the women were fighting for more money because Jennifer Lawrence wasn't getting paid as much as whoever. Right. You know, like we want our equal rights, but now we want our equal rights and our equal pay, but now we want you to stop touching me and, you know, I want my personal space. Like, get out of my bubble. So I don't know. I think when you've got celebrities saying, oh, we're not going to talk to Ryan Seacrest on the red carpet because of all of the accusations flying his way, mm-hmm. and you've got people showing up to these award ceremonies wearing, what did they wear? All black. Yeah. And then mm-hmm. they had the lapel yeah. pins and the, I mean, it's a big thing. Mm-hmm. I don't,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't see it just, you know, fading away right. anytime soon.
I didn't write this down. This isn't on my list. The things that I intended to talk about, but, the thing that came along with all of that is the, what are they? The MRAs, men's rights activists, right? These people that are like, well, you can't just, if it, so now what? Any woman can say anything about me and she's telling the truth, period, the end. There's no, what, some of the goofy shit they said, stuff like mm-hmm. There's no, you know, fair trial or innocent until proven guilty or some of those bullshit that they're talking about. And I don't know, my response to that is like, right, but we have to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. When someone makes an allegation, we're not necessarily mm-hmm. saying you're right and he's wrong. We're saying I'm taking what you're saying seriously. What you, the complaint that you're making is valid and serious, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. Isn't that all that's really being said in that?
Well, and there's a fairly bad history of shaming victims.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
mm-hmm. right.
You got molested, were raped, or whatever. What were, right. you, wearing?
What were you wearing?
Exactly.
Who the? What the?
Seriously?
No, it has nothing to do with what I'm wearing. If you can't control your urges, mm-hmm. that's not my
seriously.
Fault.
Seriously.
Especially when the fashion industry, who's creating these?
Yeah, right. Like,
you know? There's just a lot. It's a lot of double standards, if you ask me, because
oh, yeah.
how is it okay for a man to look at a woman and call her names
mm-hmm.
because of whatever she's wearing, oh, you know, and make assumptions about her because of what she's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
But then the minute a woman calls a man out for actually doing
yes.
something wrong,
yes.
if you don't want to be accused of doing something wrong, don't do it.
Exactly.
And you should be fine.
Yes.
There's always going to be that one, you know, person, male or female, that just wants attention, but...
Right, but that'll come out in the wash.
Right.
Like, we'll figure those
yeah.
out as we go. But in the meantime, it's a serious accusation.
Right.
We're going to take it seriously.
Yeah, it should be taken seriously.
Period. Right.
Right.
Good comment from Dan here that I wanted to make sure we got in. We are both, Dan says, we are both sexual assault victims. Emphasis on the descriptor, victim. You are not to blame at all. Use that experience to define your character and place yourself in the future enough to be able to look back at the experience as in the past and use it to define your present and cute person.
Current.
Yeah, he said cute. Oh,
and then he corrected it.
Got it. Your present and current person. Right? I think that's a great comment.
Like, it is.
You can tell Dan and
cute or current. I mean, we get it.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Works both ways.
But yeah, that is a very... clear-minded way to look at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, this is the thing that happened to me, absolutely, but that's not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
It made me who I am. Mm-hmm. It helped, helped define who I'm going to be. And now what am I going to do with that?
Right.
Look to the future. Looking to the future, you are making a film about your story. That takes some guts to come, not just to come out and say, hey, this is a thing that happened to me, and then come on podcasts and stuff and tell people what happened to you, but then you're going to film it too. I guess we've kind of talked about the details, the nuts and bolts of the timeline here. Maybe you want to get into more stylistically, kind of, you know, what is your vision for the film?
Mm-hmm. I think that the best way I can express myself is actually through creativity. And I realized that through filmmaking, through script writing, and through that visualization process. Whether it's poetry or even filmmaking, I see a vision of how I want to express myself. And because I don't always come across in my own speaking and my own words, it doesn't come across how I want it to really come across. So I feel like visually through media is how
You best, can write it as a character. It best
represents what I'm trying to express, and the artistic and creativity behind that is just who I am. And it's definitely a poetic narrative. It's probably going to be maybe a 5-minute film. The shorter the better, because I want people to sit through it and really see that.
Right.
There's no, absolutely no nudity or anything of that sort of graphicness in it, because I want it to be emotionally raw and intimate in that way, so that you can really, my goal is that the audience can kind of relate, whether you're a victim or something pulls on their heartstrings, whether you're a victim or not a victim, and you really see that pain and that struggle and what goes on. And a big part of that, the film, is the narration, which essentially is the thoughts within the victim's mind, which is my story, myself. And I think that's best how I'll be able to get across that message of, I just kept going back.
Yeah.
And I lost myself. I lost my soul. I felt dead inside. And it was because of him. It was because of that guy. And stylistically, I definitely am trying to portray that Hollywood feel, that beauty and sadness at the same time. So we have a great DP on board who really, I think, connects to what I'm seeking as the director. My girlfriend, Beth Wheatley, is producing it, and she's an amazing producer.
Emmy nominated,
which is fantastic.
Yes, Emmy nominated producer Beth Wheatley. So. I love Beth. She's great.
She's
we
amazing.
Worked together back in the day.
Back before she was famous.
Yeah, exactly.
Now she can't even come by.
Right? She can't even bother to skip a wedding to come here.
She's too busy. She's got too much to do.
Well, just, doesn't remember the little people anymore.
That's right? What happens when people get famous, right?
She was here last time. It's okay.
She was here with Tora.
But
Tora ranks higher than you did.
Oh,
it's all
organized
good.
In a fight. But even then.
But that's none of my business.
But even then, and this is this is definitely the producer philosophy. She was like, "Oh no, I'm going to sit in the corner behind the camera, exactly. And I don't want to talk." And no,
I'm just going to sit here.
She wouldn't have been on the camera.
No, she wouldn't.
Tonight, she wouldn't know. She would have been like, "I'm going to put my chair right over there in that corner."
But Beth, see what happens when you don't come into the studio.
We have
talk
rum,
about you,
and then we talk about you.
Sorry, I had to reload there. Don't forget, if you're playing along at home, the Dan-inspired drinking game.
Oh,
anytime my coaster lights up, you have to take... Oh, there's a drink. You have to take a drink.
Yes. That's awesome.
I wasn't using my coaster tonight. I didn't put my drink in
a fancy
glass.
Oh, you're
going
to have to ask Dan, does it count both coasters or just mine, or how does that work?
I don't know. We'll have to come up with official rules.
Yes. Wow, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Just to be, I can't get over it. Like, just what it takes to be able to sit down and say, "This is what happened to me."
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck.
Yeah, it's definitely been a journey, a hard one. But you eventually come to terms with it, I think, and it makes you stronger as a person. And I think, I've had such low self-esteem almost my entire life, and that just absolutely destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just within the past year of, writing the script and coming to terms with that whole situation has actually helped my self-esteem and I think it'll only continue to get better.
Yeah.
Because I'm realizing that I don't need to blame myself. I don't need to hate myself. I don't need to put that burden on myself anymore.
It's one of those things where you never get over it.
Right.
Right.
It'll always be there.
You just learn how to deal with it better.
Mm-hmm. It's like a scar. Yeah. You just kind of have to.
Yeah.
Oh.
You want to read the comments?
Dan says both coasters, but he also says, oh my God, Justine, don't let that guy have that much influence over you. You are so much bigger than an experience. Obviously, you've moved higher than that. I can't read or talk tonight. And I'm not even drinking alcohol. Anyway, so there you have it.
Yeah, that's a great comment and absolutely, absolutely right. I don't want that situation to have power over me at all.
Yep.
And I think part of making this film is also for me, really, not only do I want to prevent it from happening to anyone else, but really it's a healing process for me as well.
Like a closure.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
So this is probably a good place to stop and point out you're kind of in pre-production, right? At this point, you've got, when I last checked, you had locations lined up, cast and crew ready to go, shoot dates scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
At what point do you have a timeline? When you think it'll be finished filming and then in the post-production? Do you have a goal?
Yeah, our shoot dates are March 17th and 18th, so they're actually coming up in the next week or two weeks. We have locations, which is great, and we have all like our cast and crew, which I'm super thankful for. And we are still raising funds on Kickstarter to help pay for the equipment and the location costs and the distribution costs as well. But as far as when it will be done, my goal is definitely the spring. And kind of starting to get it out with educational distribution, probably to college campuses and and then of course film festivals as well.
Yeah.
Definitely targeting Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit him right in the heart.
Right.
Every modeling agency should be like handing the video out to the
right.
Actually, that's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know.
Right. Like it makes me want to start a nonprofit to reach out to young, you know, kids that are getting into the business and, you know, just to be a resource. And like, I'm sure there's something out there, but it makes me want to get involved. Like if anything else, right? If it stops
one person,
right.
Yes.
That's all you need.
Yep. One life.
Yeah.
Are you acting in the film too? Or are you just directing and writing?
I am acting.
Ooh, God.
Wow.
That's
girl.
I debated.
You are like my hero right now.
I couldn't
do it.
No, I couldn't act in my own story.
Thinking about my story, I don't know that I. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
because it's
got to be a therapeutic experience.
It is. And it's that like facing your fear type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of not only that, but I just don't, if I'm directing it and I see someone else in it, it's my story.
Yes.
As much as that might sound like, oh, you know, egotistical,
it's not.
Because I'm trying here to portray my story. And I know that the only way to really make a difference is by doing it the way you know how to.
Yep. And you know the story
better than anybody else.
The only person that knows how you felt at each given point on the timeline is you.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I just
couldn't do it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, claps. Because Jesus.
Man.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm praying that it goes well.
Just make sure you have your therapist on call. That's what I would do.
Right.
Have somebody kickstart her some extra money so he can be on set.
Yes, right?
Just yeah, like you got. I'm having anxiety thinking about this for you, like
right. And we just met,
and yeah, like just it's really hard to like those feelings. Just I'm
right.
Wow.
Well, like, at some point, there's got to be a way to separate yourself and say,
yeah,
you know, like this isn't happening to mm-hmm. me right now.
Right.
Right.
Well, and I think about like method yeah. actors who yeah. get into a character, who get so deep into a character. Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't imagine. That
no, I'm not
let
a,
alone
a method.
Like,
I'm not yeah. into the method at all.
But, right. but
like the guys that walk around like between scenes that like over at the craft services table, like still in character. Those people.
Yeah. yeah. Right. Like but like I mean, I imagine that like to separate yourself from if you're doing a long shoot and you're a method actor and you kinda go back to your family or whatever at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And
yeah, then, yeah or, it'd be tough.
So I can't imagine having to relive a traumatic experience.
Right.
It's got to be worse than a lot of other options. So I'm proud of you, and I just yeah. met you. So
well, thank yeah. you.
It's well, amazing.
And I guess the silver lining is that you've limited it to.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not like an hour and a half long of the. The,
no.
the yeah. whole storytelling and the build
right.
up and
yeah.
the, like where I think if it were something like that, like a feature length thing,
right.
like you would really be reliving it, and
yeah.
that,
I mean,
that would be tough.
That would be definitely
yeah.
a little bit more challenging,
for sure. So you mentioned the Kickstarter, and we will definitely put a link
mm-hmm.
into the show notes of this episode 100. Yay! And whatever else that you'd like us to link to.
Absolutely.
Also, if there's, mm-hmm. you know, if there are any organizations that you support that are doing good work in this, we'll definitely send people that way too. Is the Kickstarter the best place to send people, or is there like is there a website or a place that people can go to learn more and like follow your progress?
Yeah. So I just started the social media. So I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and but Kickstarter, that's where we are essentially raising the funds.
Mm-hmm.
As far as progress, we'll keep it on social media. So if you want to follow us at Hollywood Hurts the film, then by all means, that's awesome. And you can be updated on our progress.
Do you know where you are on your Kickstarter right now? I'm loading it.
I think we're at like 400.
Yeah. Get out there and support this project.
Please.
Please.
And even if you can't, share it.
Right.
Because you never know.
We got a few more days.
Yep. Right. Yeah. When does it ends March 7th at
yeah.
midnight?
Oh, that's
or,
my
oh,
birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Yeah. So let's get this thing funded. It costs money to make things, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
like we do with our Patreon. That we have, you know, people that support us and help us pay to do this thing. You know, when you're making a film and you go to a location and say, listen, we want to basically shut your place down for a day and mm-hmm. film there. And
yeah, you got to mm-hmm. pay for that.
You got to pay for that.
Yeah, it's
right?
not free.
Yeah. Yeah. And the equipment and the time, the people that are involved, it's definitely worth supporting, especially if, you know, again, this is a message that we can get out there. And again, if it saves one person from going through what you went through.
Yeah, that's my goal.
It's all worth it. Absolutely. Normally, I would wrap on that, but I also want to ask a religion question. Did you grow up in a religious environment? And this is where you can say, Sarah, I don't want to, this is not the topic I want to get into.
You can hold up the glitter cross.
I know
and
you,
say, save
yeah,
me.
That's your free card.
That's
your
free card.
Free pass.
I grew up, excuse me. I grew up Jewish and Catholic. We never really went to church too much.
It's an interesting combination.
But yeah, it's like two extremes.
Right.
I grew up, yeah, just kind of like doing Christmas, doing Hanukkah, and not really going to church too much. I did go to an all-girls Catholic school.
Oh, gosh.
For my elementary years.
Bless you.
Man. How many times smack? Did you know?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Right there.
Get out
right
of my there. Head.
It wasn't that bad.
I'm just thinking, like, you know, religion is a topic that we cover. We talk about a lot on the show. Mm-hmm. If I'm going through a thing like this, you know, how I might handle it might be different based on, you know, where my beliefs lie. Like, mm-hmm. I can imagine some people having a crisis of faith in this moment and saying, like, God, why are you letting this shit happen to me? Like, mm-hmm. why me?
Right.
Aren't you there? Aren't you listening?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I've had many of those conversations.
Yeah.
But I definitely have a higher power. Now, you guys are atheists, but I think your belief is really where healing comes. So to me, you can believe in like science. You can believe in a God that lives up in the clouds. You can believe in an energy. I don't care.
Right. Yep.
To me, that's whatever helps you. And I definitely want to get that across to any victims that, for me, having a higher power has helped with the healing process. Just, I think everything, although it sucks, I definitely have become a stronger person and I can potentially help people. And, you know, maybe that's the purpose of all this. I don't like it. I hate it. But I definitely, believing that there's a reason for everything has helped tremendously, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm not the one to be like, oh, but I'm going to.
No.
I'm going to corner you in your moment of pain. You're using this thing that no. Like, again, if it's helping, and that's absolutely.
As long as it's not drugs and alcohol to the extreme, if it's not hurting anybody and it's helping you heal, then yeah, absolutely. Do whatever is necessary to be healthy and happy.
Absolutely. So we started off this conversation in Hollywood with a young girl filled with hopes and dreams. What are her hopes and dreams now?
To really make a difference, to make a difference and to really truly learn how to love myself and better myself. And that's really my biggest goal.
That's great. Let's sit for a minute. All right. You have anything else?
No. Thank you for telling your story.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
The film is Hollywood Hurts, in film in the making. And we will, again, we'll put links to the Kickstarter. Please go support this endeavor because, again, as many times as we say this, you can't say it enough. One story turns into five stories, turns into 50 stories, turns into 500 stories. Each story that goes out makes it easier for the next person to speak up. And so that's what we have to do. We have to go and tell our stories.
Dan sends a hug for you from him because you more than deserve it.
Aw, thank you, Dan.
We love Dan. Dan's the best. Sweet. All right, Justine, thank you so much for driving all the way out here to the middle of nowhere and
dark.
Exposing yourself to strangers. Tell us your story.
In the dark. Oh my goodness.
Add in the dark after everything. Is that what you're going to do
now? It's dark
now?
Outside.
No, it definitely is.
But never mind. Whatever.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do.
I'm getting nervous now because I know what's coming.
You wanted this.
I know.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to throw it to a break. It'll be a longish break.
Yeah.
As long a time as I need to reset and get everything set up.
Put the tarp down.
Put the tarp down. And then...
You're a sick woman.
You asked me to shave your head. I'm going to do it.
I know.
It's not good. We will be celebrating 100 episodes by shaving Becca's head.
Freedom. I'll never have to do my hair again.
And it's too bad that you haven't been like talking to your mother because she would love this.
No, she wouldn't. You know better than that.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll shave your head when we come back. Justine, thank you again so much for coming down. You are welcome anytime. We absolutely loved you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 100. If you weren't able to catch the live video after our interview with Justine, we shaved Becca's head because she wanted me to. And what a great way to celebrate episode 100, right? So what we're going to do is I will put that video on the Patreon so that if you guys want to watch back, you can our patrons can go check that out. And I will put that one up for any patron level. We're considering changing up the structure and putting the videos onto Patreon at a certain dollar level. And we'll get into all of that later. But if you want to watch Becca's head get shaved live right here on the show, episode 100 of Sarah Talk, you can head to patreon.com/Sarah Talk and become a patron for as little as $1 per episode. And you'll get access to that. And we've done a couple of patron-only specials that you should check out. And that's going to do it for episode 100. Thank you all so much for getting us to this arbitrary 10-based number that has no meaning. And sticking with us for so long. We really appreciate all of you supporting us. And that you come on here and listen to the stuff we have to say. And pretend like you care about what we have to say. That's really awesome. We love you. Thank you again to Justine Renee for coming on the show today to talk about her film project and expose her sides and tell us about her traumatic experience in Hollywood. And it's a story that so many people go through, that she's not unique. This is not something that's just happened to her. This is a problem in our society. And it's not just Hollywood, right? It's something that we have to fix. And the first step in that from this point is to talk about it. So thank you again, Justine, for coming on. We'll put links to all of your stuff on the show notes of this episode, episode 100. Before we go, we want to make sure we thank our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/Sarah Talk. They are part-time patron Russell, Andrea, The Wayward Willis Podcast, Mandy, Josie, Harry, Jeremy, Stacy, Megan, Morgan, and AJ. Thank you all so much for throwing money at this thing to help us be able to put on the show every week. It really does make a difference, and we appreciate you so much. That's it for this week. That's it for episode 100. Here's to another 100 episodes. We'll see you next week. This is Sarah Talk.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/Sarah Talk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/Sarah Talk Radio and on Twitter @Sarah Talk Radio. Sarah Talk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.